Welcome to Living in Hi-Fi. I'm Steve.
And I'm Flissy. This is a podcast about records. Today's album is Blues for Dracula by Philly Joe Jones Sextet, originally released in 1958 on Riverside Records, catalog number RLP-282. Our copy is an original Jazz Classics re-release from 1986, catalog number OJC-230.
So this record comes from Joe's Record Paradise, and we recently went there to check out their new space because they had a grand reopening recently. I think this is the third location that we have seen them in.
Yeah, I think so.
So, their new space is pretty nice. I recommend if you're in the DC area that you check them out. And this album was just one of our finds going through the stacks.
And this is from their rare collection. There's a little cubby off to the side of the register. You can go and look at some of the select LPs in there.
But by rare, I think they mean albums that are just slightly more valuable than their normal run-of-the-mill fare.
Yeah, I mean, this one was still just $20, which is, you know, that's cool.
All right, so Felicity, do you want to tell us about this album?
So the cover is pretty epic. I was like in the record store looking at some other section nearby, and you waved me down and like held up this cover, and I was like slack jawed for a second because I'm like, what even is going on here? Is this like blue faced Dracula person wearing, of course, the signature Dracula cape and like some metal around his chest, and he's playing a snare drum. He's wearing gloves, and dangling from one of the drumsticks is a bat. So I'm like, what even is Blues for Dracula by Philly Joe Jones Sextet? And also features Nat Adderley and Johnny Griffin. So that's on the front cover. And then on the back, it has, of course, the track title again, as a little picture of Philly Joe Jones on the back, who is obviously not the blue-faced Dracula on the front cover. And it goes into talk about like how Philly Joe Jones has this Dracula shtick, and then talks a little bit about the musicians that are on the album.
All right, so do we want to listen to our first clip?
Yes.
All right, what did you pick, Flissy?
This is the title track. It's Blues for Dracula.
All right, let's have a listen.
Welcome. Permit me to introduce myself. I am called Dracula. I am really the bebop vampire. I like the sun. I like the sun to shine. Drink. We must all drink. Everybody must drink. Today on the market we got instant blood for you to drink. I want you all to drink. Ah, that's it. That's good. That's good. Drink, drink, quench your thirst. Quench your thirst. Good. Children, you over there, drink your soup before it clots. Put the children to bed. Children, drink your blood and bite your mama goodnight. Bite your mama goodnight. Put two more marks on your mama's jugular vein. Go away. Go away for the moment. Let me do my work. Go away! Go away! You know I must do my work. I must do my experiments. Go away! I will find a victim. Don't worry. I shall find a victim. Dracula will find a victim. Are you looking strange? You not a vampire? I am a vampire, not you. If you don't stay away, I will take your ukulele, and then you'll become a vampire. If you become a vampire, you will understand. Don't worry. Bela will return. Bela shall come back.
Ooh. Ooh. But master, those strange sounds. What are those strange sounds, master?
nor do I, Chuba. The children of the night make such beautiful music.
Okay, so what did you think?
Okay, like, the same response that I had, like, looking at the cover, it was, like, that plus delight when I started to hear this track. I mean, it's the most, like, over-the-top, like, Bela Lugosi-style Dracula impression, complete with jugular vein, and he's saying, Bela shall come back, the children of the night make such beautiful music. It's just, like, so over-the-top. And I like how he talks about, like, how you children should drink your soup before it clots. Like, it's just, like, the most, like, campy vampire moment. What that has to do with jazz, I don't know. It sounds to me like Philly Joe Jones, like this was just this thing. He was like, hey guys, check out my Dracula impression. And then it pretty much just goes into some pretty straight bebop. And the song I like, aside from the totally over-the-top Bela Lugosi impression, I like that even during this narrative that's going on, the musicians are playing pretty kind of like pretty chill in the background. They're kind of like just holding it down, and then little by little the musicians start to play a little bit more improvisation, and then towards the end Joe Jones gets a little bit more embellishment with the drums.
Yeah, so I like this song. I mean, it was composed by Johnny Griffin, who plays tenor saxophone on this album. But it's a little bit weird, like, why is there this whole Dracula thing, and how did Johnny Griffin feel about him doing that Dracula thing on top of his song? I don't know, it sort of limits the replay value, I think, of this a little bit, because otherwise I think it's a really solid jazz composition, but definitely a little bit on the weird side.
How could this possibly limit the replay value? Like, it makes me want to play it, like, over and over again.
So listening to this album, it occurs to me that I haven't really listened to very much jazz trombone, and I'm not really sure why that is, but this definitely makes me want to listen to Julian Priester, who plays the trombone on this album, his albums, and have a listen. And also, towards the end of the track, we have a little bit of an opportunity to listen to Tommy Flanagan playing piano, and I really like Tommy Flanagan's piano playing. It definitely... definitely someone I'm gonna have to check out as well. Not really familiar with any of his work before this, so gives me an opportunity to check out someone new. So why don't you tell us a little bit about Philly Joe Jones?
So Philly Joe Jones was born in 1923. As his name indicates, he grew up in Philadelphia. And he was in the Army during World War II. And when he came back in 1947, he was the house drummer at Cafe Society in New York City. And he played with Tad Dameron. And he was one of the leading bebop artists. And so that's really where he got his start on the jazz scene. And really from that time, he had the opportunity to play with a lot of jazz artists. He played with Miles Davis from 1955 through 1958.
Yeah, part of his first great quintet.
Yeah. And, of course, he recorded with Miles Davis and also toured with him. And Miles Davis said that Joe Jones was his favorite drummer. Bill Evans said the same. I think Thelonious Monk also said the same. Like, he has some serious regard among jazz musicians. He seemed very well-loved for his artistry by just about everybody. And then from 1967 to 1972, he performed, recorded, and toured with other musicians in Europe, mostly in London and in Paris. And he also taught music at a special school in London during that time. In 1981, he founded Dameronia, and that band was dedicated to the music of Todd Dameron, and he kept that gig up until he died in 1985. So according to Riverside, the label on the back, he played on more Riverside LPs than any other drummer in their catalog. And I guess the way he plays drums is categorized as bop, bebop, or hard bop. And he's really recognized for his really aggressive style of playing, which you can hear on this album. It's like really hard hitting. It's really highly embellished. He's got layers of stuff going on. Usually the tom drums are playing sort of the bass, like the steady rhythm, and then he does a lot of embellishment with the cymbals on top.
Oh, what are you doing here with the children again? Children, go in the belfry and play with the bats.
And the sextet that is heard on this album includes Nat Adderley, who plays the cornet, and he is, in fact, the brother of Cannonball Adderley, which is perhaps the more well-known of the brothers. Johnny Griffin is the one that plays tenor sax, as we mentioned earlier. He's the one that composed the title track to this album, and he was someone that worked extensively with Thelonious Monk. Jimmy Garrison plays bass, and this is the first recording that he's on. Tommy Flanagan plays the piano, and Julian Priester plays the trombone.
All right, well, do you want to take a listen to our second clip?
Sure, what's our next track?
All right, this track is the final track on Side B, and it is titled Ow.
Thank you.
Okay, Felicity, what'd you think?
So what I really like about this track, this is a composition by Dizzy Gillespie, and it has a little bit more of that sort of straight jazz sound that comes from the 1940s. Although it does have like this really steady syncopation to it, like a real swing to it. And like the Dracula's Blues that we heard earlier, it begins with, you know, a pretty straight playing of the song, and then it starts to get more embellishment towards the end. So there's more solos, more solo improvisation from the instruments, and towards the end, you can really hear the complexity of Joe Jones playing on the drums.
Yeah, I like this piece because sort of each of the members of the sextet had an opportunity to sort of be like the featured soloist. And so you get to sort of hear, you know, what each of them can do. And I think it's a, you know, pretty solid song. Although a bit long, I guess around 12 minutes.
Yeah.
It is weird in a way because the first piece was like that too. And it's almost kind of like you have, you know, a few different jazz trios where it's like you have a jazz trio with a cornet and drums and bass. And then, you know, you have a jazz trio with trombone, drums and bass. And then you have a jazz trio with piano, drums and bass. And then you have a jazz trio with tenor sax, drums and bass. So I don't know. I mean, it would be nice to hear a little bit more of them actually playing together instead of just sort of taking turns. But overall, I do like the opportunity that, you know, you have a chance to hear each of them featured and sort of hear what they can do. So what do you think about this album, Felicity?
I think this album is worth it alone for the Blues for Dracula. You know, I have kind of a hard time, though. Like, I feel like I am not a particularly educated appreciator of jazz music, and I really struggle, especially with, like, bebop and hard bop. It's, like, can be a little difficult to listen to, like, the solo improvisation can be so very complex and a little bit atonal that I remember you're playing this earlier this week while we were getting ready to do this episode. I'm like, can we not listen to this right now? It's kind of stressing me out. Like, I don't know. It is there's like some tension to it, which I'm sure some people appreciate and can be really interesting to listen to some of the time. But, you know, I feel like I have to be in a really particular mood to listen to this.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I've been sort of trying to get into jazz for some time, and I think it sort of has been difficult to figure out exactly the style of jazz that I'm into. And, you know, I think I like I've been more of a fan, at least, of sort of the cool jazz. And, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's sort of like I get into one artist and I'll sort of explore them a little bit and then, you know, maybe listen to some of the artists that they played with. But yeah, I agree. It's been a little bit difficult. And I don't know. I mean, bebop is something I've been listening to more recently. But yeah, I think it can get a little bit in the sort of difficult to listen to or having to be in a certain sort of mood type of music.
Yeah, though I will say that, like, if you're somebody that's already into Miles Davis and you haven't yet listened to Philly Joe Jones on his own, like his own projects, I think it's worthwhile to investigate his recordings.
Agreed. So I think this album shows a lot of promise as Philly Joe Jones' first album as bandleader, but I would say overall it's not an essential release and probably not the, you know, the release that's going to sort of get you into jazz or, you know, get you into bebop. But, you know, I think it's a pretty good album. It's solid, a little bit weird. So for more, you can visit our show notes at livinginhifi.com/episode/22. You can find us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram at livinginhifi. For a longer correspondence, you can email us at feedback@livinginhifi.com. And next week, we'll have some jug band music. So happy Halloween, and thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.